Here comes the Fed again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The Federal Reserve has been pretty hands-on dealing with this financial mess. And with things looking as shaky as ever this morning, the Fed is taking more action. A couple of hours ago, Chairman Ben Bernanke said he may extend the emergency loan window for Wall Street banks through the end of this year so they can get more capital. The idea is to get the credit flowing, because right now it's just not.
The Federal Reserve will continue its efforts to make our financial system stronger and more resilient so that it can continue to play its necessary role of supporting economic growth and making credit available to all qualified borrowers.
Bernanke also talked about giving the Fed more powers over banks and mortgage lenders. Alisa Roth takes it from there.
Ben Bernanke says the Fed will introduce new rules about mortgage lending next week. The new rules will apply to all lenders and are designed to address the recent problems we've seen, especially those connected to high-cost lending. He says the Fed is strongly committed to keeping the financial system stable and to helping it work better. But to do that, he reiterates, the Fed will need even more power, and he says the Fed won't be able to do its job
without the authority to directly examine banks and other financial institutions that are subject to prudential regulation.
He says the Fed will also need the power to look at financial firms as a whole. As for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, Bernanke says he's pleased with recent efforts to improve oversight of the companies. The better shape they're in, he says, the better they'll be able to do their job of increasing access to mortgage credit without adding unnecessary risk to the markets. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Before Bernanke's speech, the overseas stock markets were drowning in red. Things look a little better now, and Wall Street is actually seeing some gains. So far, the Dow is up 32 points to 11,264. The NASDAQ has gained 11, about 0.5%, and the S&P 500 is up a point. In Asia, stocks finished 2-3% lower. European shares are down about 1% so far. The price of oil is down quite a bit, just below $140 a barrel. Now the question is, how much are oil prices soaking the bottom line of public companies? The second quarter profit reports start coming in this afternoon. Aluminum maker Alcoa is the first one. Here's a preview from Ashley Milne-Tite.
Alcoa's second quarter earnings are likely to be lower than last year's. Leo Larkin is an equity analyst with Standard & Poor's. He says demand for aluminum in the U.S. has fallen since 2007, given slowing car manufacturing and home construction. High energy costs have also squeezed Alcoa's revenues this year, a trend the company is keen to reverse.
They are moving in the direction of putting their facilities, particularly their smelters, in parts of the world where they can get low-cost power, because electricity is a very high component of aluminum manufacturing costs.
Still, Larkin says, despite higher production costs, the average price of aluminum hasn't changed that much from last year. Waning demand in Europe and the U.S. has been offset by a supply crunch in aluminum mining countries like South Africa and China. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
New York cab drivers say the high price of gasoline is killing their business. The Taxi Workers Alliance wants to charge passengers an extra dollar. But Mayor Michael Bloomberg says no. We'll see where that goes.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit Fortune 500 company helping members thrive in retirement. You can learn more at thrivent.com/retirement. And by BrandWeek, the news organization dedicated to the information needs of strategic-minded marketing executives. With real-time coverage, now searchable at BrandWeek.com.
Tonight, Barack Obama's campaign holds a $2,500 a plate fundraiser in London. Obama won't be there. It's illegal for presidential candidates to take money from foreign citizens, but of course London is home to many wealthy Americans who will show up. Jeff Brumfield has this story from London.
Ruth Shapiro and her family have been living abroad for nearly 6 years. She's always been a big Democrat, but since she moved overseas, she's felt distant from U.S. politics. This year, though, she's been feeling more connected.
So Howard Dean was here 2 weeks ago. Michelle Obama came to raise money for Obama. Bill Clinton was here, I think, three times to raise money for Hillary.
It's not just Democrats trolling for money in London. Republican candidate John McCain came here in March for a $1,000 plate luncheon. Americans living abroad have contributed over $2.5 million so far in this election season. That's three times the total amount raised from overseas in 2004.
London is far and away the biggest producer of campaign cash.
Massey Rich is with the Center for Responsive Politics, a campaign watchdog group. He says that expats working in the financial center are the source of most of that money, and the weak dollar makes it easy to give more.
They're making a lot of money, they're paid in pounds, and they seem to be very motivated to contribute to candidates in this election.
Ruth Shapiro, a consultant, and her husband, a banker, fit that profile. They have given more this year than in past elections. It's partially because the internet makes it easy, but also because of what she's experienced while overseas.
It's been particularly painful, I think, being an American outside the United States during the Bush administration and watching friends throughout Europe and Asia really begin to question the United States in a way that they never did.
Many expats support McCain as well, yet Obama has raised nearly five times as much from abroad as the Republican candidate, a total of around $1.5 million so far. Tonight's private dinner will add to that. The guest of honor is Richard Holbrooke, Bill Clinton's former ambassador to the United Nations. Holbrooke is expected to draw somewhere around 30 to 40 wealthy donors. That will make the meal worth between $75,000 and $100,000. In London, I'm Jeff Brumfield for Marketplace.
If you'd like to take the Marketplace Morning Report with you, we do have a podcast. The details are available online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.